are the New York Knicks.
I'm back. Back in the New York.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K-S.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York, go New York, go!
All right.
We are here. We are finally recording.
I made it.
You made it. I am Mark. My Jay, our co-host, who actually runs the show and knows how to do all the technical stuff, is not here this week. It's been a little while since we've done a Knicks podcast. Jay is visiting his wife's family in Thailand, and I am here to talk Knicks with you. And I have brought on my co-host, my brother David, and we are going to talk all Knicks. How you doing, David?
Let's go. Let's do this. All the way from Seattle, talking Knicks.
Talking Knicks. So today is Julius Randle's 29th birthday. Did you know that Julius Randle is the one of eight players in franchise, according to John McAree's tweet, he's one of eight players in Knicks history with 6,000 points, 3,000 boards, 1,000 assists, and he will be top 20 in all the three categories within a week or two. What do you think of Julius Randle, Jay? David. I'm losing my mind.
Do it again, man. Which brother did you invite onto this show?
Holy crap.
I got lots of love for Randall. I mean, look at what he did yesterday. I think the problem is which Randall shows up on a night-on-night basis has been kind of the story of the time with the Knicks the last couple of years. Yesterday, probably pre-birthday, he put up one of the best games of his career, 25 points, 20 rebounds, 5 assists, and a plus 27. I mean, that's great.
So when we're recording the Knicks on last night, they beat the crap out of the Charlotte Hornets. I guess the Hornets were a birthday present for Julius Randle as he crushed them, as David just said. You also basically just turned off half the fan base by saying good things about this two-time All-Star and potential all-time great Nick, because he's lacked physical on defense, he's had bad moments in the playoffs. There are lots of reasons to gripe about Julius Randle.
Yeah.
But he's been here for a while. He's put up pretty good numbers. He's been a two-time All-Star. He's done a lot on the Knicks, and it's amazing. The only thing – so he has done so much – and he has set the Knick record. I don't know if you know this. He has set the Knick record with 8,327 trade requests from fans.
So I wanted to start with the good stuff because, I wanted to turn off half of your local audience. But, I mean, look, the good stuff gets outweighed by basically the entire beginning of the year up until yesterday's game. And that's just his – yes, his lackadaisical defense. I mean, I get exhausted of all the post game clips of him just taking plays off, and you know, for the utilization that he commands on the court, his shooting has been just atrocious this year. I mean, dude's shooting average has been absolutely terrible. And I hope you're not about to blame his ankle recovery still.
I'm going to blame his ankle recovery because actually since those first four or five games, his shooting's been more on par with what he's done in previous years. He hasn't been that bad of a shooter except for those first four or five games when he was completely off.
I'm trying to look this up to see if that's true. I know he's had a couple of good games. He played well against Charlotte. He had a decent game against Phoenix, even though they lost.
Since the Knicks were 2-4, he's been totally fine. He's had an off game or two, but generally he's been fine this year since first six games.
He was pretty lackluster, I would say, against Miami. I mean, that was the Brunson show. That was awesome. I mean, Brunson, so many of these games in the Jalen Brunson show. I mean, if anything, Brunson's shooting, and I mean, we'll talk about RJ in a bit, but the overall, like, the shooting around Randall has masked his performance, I think. I mean, like, I'm looking at his shooting percentage. What is it, under 40%?
I really think the first six, I mean, in fairness, now there's a lot to criticize Randall, but I think we're going a little crazy with his shooting numbers this year when it's a small sample. His sample is heavily weighed down from games when his ankle was really bothering him. He came back from surgery. The first six games of the season, he looked completely lost. It was some of the lowest, I mean, potentially lowest moments with Randall in the first six games of the season where we're like, if he's going to play like this, we are completely screwed as a franchise.
Yeah.
He's been much better, much more normal since. He's been lackluster at times, but he's had good games, and he obviously crushed Charlotte. And you know what? He's not the number one player in this team anymore. He's not the number one option.
I think that's the best. That's the biggest thing to say, is that he's not the number one player on the team, which is huge. If he is and was, then the team's not, you know, they're only going as far as he's going to go.
In fairness, he's an extremely talented player. The talent is there, the size, the physical ability. There's things to criticize him for, of course. When he got to the Knicks, he was the first time in his career when he was like, he was going to be the number one option. He's got to lead this team. Year one was atrocious. Year two, he's an all-star, all-NBA. Sucks in the playoffs against the Hawks, but there was a lot of pressure on him being the number one guy. He said recently in the offseason, he went on Paul George's podcast. He said having Brunson here made his life easier. He is very happy to take a back seat and have someone else be the number one option. And go.
No, I agree with everything. He's got, you know, he's saying the right things for sure. Well, let me ask you this, right? Yeah. 3-point shooting is extremely important in the NBA today, right? The way the game is played.
Right.
Should he be shooting threes? And, you know, what's an acceptable 3-point percentage from him as your number one, number two scoring option?
So last year he shot about 34%. 2 years ago, he shot 40%. He's shooting atrocious right now, but he's a reasonably about a 34% three. I think 34% is around where he ends up for the season. I'll make you a bet right now on that. And that's not amazing, but it's not you're keeping the defense honest.
Can you live with that, I guess, is the question.
I can live with that because sometimes he is hot as anything. I also think one thing that weighs down his shooting percentage overall, I mean, he chucks up some bad shots and whatever. It's also the rest of the team. Sometimes, like, he'll pass the ball to, say, Josh Hart, and Hart will be like, no, take the ball back. And he's like, I guess I have to shoot now.
I'm not shooting today. Today was not my shooting day.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of guys on the team that don't play the alpha. They refuse to put the shot up, or they don't want to take a tough shot. They'll pass it back to Randall, and he's like, well, there's 6 seconds to go on the clock now. I have to figure something out. And Brunson has to do that also. But, like, the role players matter also, that they have to step up a little bit as well. I mean, part of this is, can the Knicks win with Randall? If the Knicks are going to win with Randall, I think we agree he can't be your number one option if you're going to win it. Can he be your number two option? Does he need to be your number three option? And what kind of team could you build to make this work? Do we have to have another all-star in the team? Do we have to have just another star player? How do you get to from where the Knicks are second round to the finals?
You know, I'll just say this because this is my second time on the show.
No one
knows me. That's fine.
No one knows us. Fine.
I am a total homer. Like I see the glass half full all the time. I'm such a like non-typical Knicks fan, Mets fan, the whole nine yards. Like I think that they can win with this squad. Obviously. They can't if Randall's going to be shooting 26% from deep, which is what his numbers are for the year. And he's only at like 29-30% since like mid-November. So,
I just want to add that so tonight it was supposed to be David and my cousin Jay was going to join as well. And what made it interesting is cousin Jay hates Randall. So I thought that was going to be a great conversation.
That would have been fun.
That would have been fun.
Dave, if you're listening, like, hit me up, man. I got Randall love. You want to hate? Let's do this.
So Randle is a very frustrating player. You're right. So he can't shoot 30%, but his, generally speaking, if you look at his body of work, he's a better three-point shooter than that. And there are times when he's on fire from three. There were a bunch of games last year where he hit like 6-6. He had two games where he hit 8 threes, a couple games where he hit like 6 or 7. He can get hot from three. I don't want him to just take that part out of his game.
My favorite three from last year, if we want to talk about like historically, was the three-pointer that he hit against Miami where he won the game. My favorite part about that was the fact that he did like such a Julius Randle thing. Like he tried to lose the ball. Like I think he was literally trying to lose the ball like three times during that play and then like threw it up. I swear his eyes were closed. I don't even think he knew he hit it until like 20 seconds after he got mobbed.
Yeah, no, that was an absolutely crazy three. It was the ball almost got stolen twice. He just kind of like just threw up a prayer and it went in as shots go in. Just like the Phoenix Sun game when Devin Booker hit a crazy three.
Yeah.
Recently we lost. Did you, not to jump around a little bit, but people were blaming Julius Randle for not guarding Devin Booker better on that play. And basically Devin Booker, he jumped super high in the air, hit a really, it was a fadeaway three at the buzzer. A hell of a shot. Not many guys could hit that shot. What did you
guys
think about it?
Guys like Booker are going to hit those shots. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing a defender can do. I think the hate that Randle gets there is just kind of tied to all of those videos you see of him like taking a playoff or two. But a guy like Booker is going to hit that shot.
The play was lost not because of Randle. It was lost when they let Devin Booker get the ball back. They double Devin Booker. He passes the ball away. They leave the double, and he just takes the ball back. Why would you double him to get rid of the ball and then let him get the ball back? You just say what I would have said if I was Tibbs. I'd be like, anyone besides Devin Booker will beat us tonight. Make sure he does not have the ball to get that last shot.
Yeah. All right. So can I ask you a question now?
Of course.
How does this work? All right. So we talked about the birthday boy. Here's a question that I've got. Who is the real Josh Hart? Is it the guy that has barely shown up and kind of grumbling about playing time, or is it the guy that showed up yesterday? Because yesterday he had a great game. Another just, you know, one of those games you thought you signed up for with that big contract in the offseason.
So according to the New York Post, Hart mentioned the following regarding his offensive struggles. Just trying to get in a rhythm. I think that's the biggest problem. I'm a rhythm player. I'm not someone that's just a catch and shoot 3-point shooter. That's really just only does that. That's not really what I want to do. I'm more someone who can get in the lane and find guys and stuff like that. And I'm capable of making shots. When you don't have a rhythm like that, or you don't feel included, it's just sometimes that it's tough not touching it and having the catch and shoot. So it's definitely something I'm working on. And hopefully I will get in better rhythm.
Is this his Keyshawn Johnson moment? Just give me the damn ball.
I think in a certain extent, basically, he basically voiced, I don't like how it's going with the offense. And the Knicks seemed to make an effort in the Charlotte game. Like, he made a better effort, but they also made an effort to get him more involved in the offense. When the Knicks traded for him, I remember Portland fans saying the frustration with Hart was he just passes up too many shots. This is a criticism that, like, has followed him in his career, but he got to New York and he shot all the threes. He was electric last year. Yeah. And I was like, I don't know what they're talking about. We signed him for a big contract extension. I noticed in the playoffs him passing us some shots, and I was like, why is he not shooting? He's open. And this season has been unbelievably frustrating with him killing some offensive possessions because you just don't take the shot, and the Knicks have to end up getting a worse shot.
Was there a clip of him? Did I see Brunson yell at him, shoot the damn ball, or was that DiVincenzo? Like, did someone yell at him during the game, shoot the damn ball?
I don't know if I missed that clip, but like,
look that up. I'm pretty sure there was something I saw. It was either the Charlotte game or the Phoenix game where one of the teammates on the floor it literally said, I think it was one of his Villanova guys, said, shoot the damn ball.
So I think just kind of going back to bringing this all together, if the Knicks are going to win, It'd be great if they add another star player, an all-star, so forth. Hey, they got Giannis. That'd be amazing. But assuming that's not going to happen, maybe the giant move's not going to happen. The way you win is you have a very good, maybe two guys or three guys with RJ, if RJ improves, but you really need a solid, electric sporting cast. You need these guys to make their shots to elevate the team, because if you're 1, 2, 3, you're not going to be better than everyone else. Your 1 through 9 have to be better. And a guy like Hart is super important. He's a really good shooter. I think he just has struggled. Like, he's struggled. Grimes has struggled. Dante DiVincenzo hasn't been that great. I think he's had some games.
He's had some good games, but no, I wouldn't say that he's like been the guy, like that guy off the bench. IQ's been incredible.
Yeah.
Pay that man.
So with Hart, I would say it's a combination of like the Knicks, like there has to be a meeting of the minds here. Like, hey, we'll get you more involved in the offense, but if you're open, you have to shoot the ball. And it's also like there were a couple times, even last night, where like he got the ball, they kicked it out to him with the ball, and he shot the three, missed the three. He also had a path to the basket. You can always drive to the lane.
Yeah, but get a foul, get to the line.
He can do a lot on offense. Yeah. He's been a scorer in the past. You need more from him, or else like this team is really screwed, because you need these role players to really make a difference. You need your role players to be superior to the other team's role players.
All right, so I got two follow up questions to that.
Sure.
So you said yourself, Giannis is not walking through that door. Embiid is not walking through that door.
He's not walking through. I'm going to go to Milwaukee and drive him here, but go on.
He's not walking through your door or my door, that's for sure.
Okay.
What does this team need? Does it need another top-tier player? Does it need Paul George? Or does it need to solidify the bench and the role players? Like, what do you think is the biggest...
Scott Perry recently said two things. He said this team needs a really good three where they could push RJ to the two and have a three that can really play D and score. And they really also need to pass the ball more, get more assists. People have been, I don't know, what did you think of this? Have you heard that things that Scott Perry's been saying? And could they sound any more obvious to you?
I did. And yeah, it was like, yeah, thanks, Captain.
Captain, you know. I it's just hilarious. There, people are like, "My God, Scott Perry's a genius." I'm like, I want to hear his theory about outscoring the opponent. Also,
yeah.
So here's part of the problem with the Knicks. Kind of summarizing where they are. So last year, the Knicks had the fourth. So defense is not an issue. We all agree the defense, by and large, they're in the right direction for defense. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, look, I think when Jalen came on, people didn't have like glowing things to say about his defense, but he's been pretty good. And with the exception of Randall taking a couple of plays off here and there, the defense is not a problem. Tibbs has done his job. They have a solid defense.
This is a very good defense, a top 10 defense, hopefully near top 5. But I feel like to really win it all, or really contend, top 10 defense is great, but your offense has to be there. And you can't just be like a 20th ranked offense. You got to be a really good offense. Do you know why the Knicks were why last year were the Knicks offensive rating fourth in the NBA? Like, did you realize it was that high?
I did. I you know what? I think I did know that, but let me think. Why was it so high?
Because like, there's not like the Knicks were these amazing shooters last year. There were a couple things that made the Knicks. Why the offensive ratings a kind of a formula? What were the keys to being a fourth rated offense in the NBA? Because they don't look like this amazing passing team either. They don't get a lot of assists.
No, I know this is true this year. I don't know if this was the case last year, but they are a phenomenal offensive rebounding team.
Yes. So offensive rebounding is key. Getting to the free throw line is key. And limiting turnovers.
Do you have to hit the free throws when you get to the line?
It is helpful. By the way, since Cousin Jay is not on tonight, he'll be on another time. I'm going to take a line from him. he has a new nickname. So Mitchell Robinson is amazing, but if we could rip him at all, he gave me a new nickname for Mitchell Robinson. When he shoots free throws, he is Missile Robinson, because look at how he shoots.
He does. He just kind of like fires them over there, doesn't he?
I don't understand. He was, I think a couple years ago, he was shooting 70% from free throw line. He is atrocious. He's on pace right now, and I'm sure he'll get better. But for maybe the worst free throw season in the history of the NBA.
Is that right? There have been some pretty bad big men at the line. I think he's shooting like
35%. I think they were saying like it's like one thing I can say, like Randall, hey, his shooting numbers are down because he had a bad start to the year because of his ankle. Mitchell Robinson is just like a blind goat shooting free throws. Like it's I cannot fathom how bad he has been this year. He should do the Rick Barry thing and shoot between his legs. Because I know people are like, you can't do that, but you can't miss these many free throws.
I'm gonna claim victory here that there is a skill that I have that is better than an NBA player, an NBA professional. I can shoot higher than 35% from the line. I'm gonna put that out there for the universe. None of you have ever seen me play basketball. You don't have to believe me, but it's true. I can be better than 35%.
Jay, the normal host of the show, also claims to be a hell of a free throw shooter. So
that might be the only stat where Jay or I would actually hold our own in a skills competition.
So the team basically, so they are really good at offensive rebounds. They are really, as I said, they are really good at getting to the line. As far as guys who are good at that, Randall's good at that. RJ's particularly good at that. Brunson is usually good at that. By the way, Grimes, which we'll talk about in a minute, has shot one free throw this season. That's a problem. but here is
Did he hit that one shot?
I don't even know, but it doesn't even matter.
I'm looking it up. It does matter.
So the Knicks right now, where do you think they rank in field goal percentage?
I got to say they're bottom half.
Bottom half. So pick a number. There are 30 teams. Pick a number.
I'm going to say 22. I'm going pretty low because I think you're trying to make a point here.
The Knicks have gone lower than you. They're 28th.
28th. Wow.
Where do you think they are in free throw percentage?
Do you think it's because of Fournier's 1-for-6?
I think so. I blame him. It's letting him on the court. You let the cancer on the court. Sorry, Fournier. So the free throw percentage, they're 29th.
By the way, I'm looking at the numbers right now, Mark. There is someone on the Knicks team who has a lower free throw percentage than Mitchell Robinson.
Jericho Sims?
My man.
These numbers actually from prior to last night's game. But okay. Do you know where the Knicks are in 3-point percentage?
They've got to be up there. Like I'm gonna say three pointers. They're a top 7 team.
They're 9th, so they're actually pretty good 3-point percentage.
Pretty good.
Yeah, and if you look at last year, that's pretty good. Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. I mean, the 3-point shooting. I mean, I think they've done actually pretty well this year. Brunson's numbers are off the fucking charts. I mean, he's almost shooting 50% from three. RJ has cooled off, but he started the year near like 45-46%. Quickly, not super high percent, but volume guy. I mean, I think he's been phenomenal. So
it's crazy to think when Brunson got here that people said we're not sure if he's a really good 3-point shooter. Now he's awesome. But basically, it comes down to it. The Knicks are shooting three as well. They're atrocious this season on twos. But even last year, they were 20th in field goal percentage, 22nd in free throw percentage, 20th in true shooting percentage.
What did you say? What was the ranking in free throws?
Free throws last year was 22nd.
What are they this year?
29th.
Could you imagine? I mean, all right, what are they, 10-7 now?
Yeah.
You got to assume that they would have two more wins. That's my assumption. They would have had two more wins this year if they were a competent middle of the pack free throw shooting team.
So you asked me what the team needs to like take it to the next level. I would say this team needs to learn how to shoot the basketball. Because they're good at other things. They can rebound. They can limit turnovers. They can do the things you need to do, but they can't put the ball in the goddamn basket. And you could blame Randall. You can blame RJ, but it's also Grimes' fault. It's DiVincenzo's fault. It's the nine-man rotation fault besides Brunson. Brunson puts the ball in the basket. But they need more shooting. So either the role guys have to get better, or we got to find guys that can. I was looking at, so the Phoenix game, one thing I just found interesting was Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon, who is on the latter half of his career, kind of thought washed up, smoked the Knicks in that game, hit a ton of shots. The Knicks, not that they need Eric Gordon, but they need a guy like that who can go. I think a nice addition would be a guy like that who can go off from the bench.
So you want a bench guy. You don't want the big splash. I'd like the Julius. Yeah, so what's the package for Paul George?
I'd like the big splash, but if we're not getting the big splash, you need more guys on the bench that can actually put it up. Either the guys that they have to figure it out, because it'd be great on a night when Randall is off or Brunson's off to have a guy in the bench, like an Eric Gordon, go crazy. And also Eric Gordon, he's 35. Not necessarily that you needed him, but he came for unbelievably cheap. I think he got $6 million a year in terms of NBA. He got almost nothing, basically almost playing for free in the NBA terms for the Suns, and he lit the Knicks up.
I'm blanking on the name, but who's the guard in Cleveland that lit them up last year when we went to a game together?
Oh,
last
yes,
year.
Yes.
Knicks Cleveland.
The dude out of Minnesota, the European guy. What is his name? The guy that was drafted. He was in the draft of Steph. Was he in the Steph Curry draft?
I think he was.
Yeah. What is his name? I am so bad
at it. Oh, man. We're going to come up with this as soon as this cast is over.
Yeah. Now I have to look this up. Steph Curry draft class. It was – God damn it. The best part of a show is when I look stuff up. Ricky Rubio.
Ricky Rubio. Yeah. Is he available? Can we bring Ricky back?
Just a reminder, and Rubio's not even a good shooter, which was crazy. He's never been a good three-point shooter. He just lit the Knicks up that game.
He went 7 for 9 from three.
It was crazy. It's also, what's crazier? You have two picks before Steph Curry is drafted. You draft point guards, and you don't draft Steph Curry. They drafted Ricky Rubio and then Johnny Flynn, and Steph Curry was the next pick.
Johnny Flynn, Syracuse, baby. There you go. Yeah. Go Orange.
So I want the big trade. Paul George would be awesome. Paul George is not being traded right now because the Clippers have gone all in on some kind of insane team over there, but they're not trading for Harden than trading Paul George. So he's off the table right now.
Who would you trade for Paul George? Go on record, Mark.
Go on record. I'll trade you. I'm going to trade David, and I'm going to hopefully get. So the problem with Paul George is he's injured a lot, but he really would be unbelievable fit because he's a true three, plays defense, can hit shots. He would be an awesome addition if he's healthy this team.
Well, the problem is you got to give up Julius if you're going to get Paul George. They got rid of Obi, so who's going to play the four?
Do you think teams want Randall back? I don't think he has the value. I don't think the Clippers are going to be like, give us, like, if the Clippers are trading Paul George, they're saying we're rebuilding. We don't want Randall. We want your draft picks.
So they want RJ, draft picks, and IQ. No, not IQ, because he's on the contract here.
I think IQ, I don't think RJ has that much love around the league either. I mean, people would – I don't think he's like even the Donovan Mitchell trade, Utah was like, oh, you'll give us RJ, pass. So here was the trade. So we could talk about star trades, but just have a smaller trade.
Yeah.
And this is just more to like – 2 years ago, or the year they played the Hawks in the playoffs, the Knicks were having an okay season. They brought in Derrick Rose. The team took off. Last year, the team was having a pretty good year. They brought in Josh Hart. They took him to the next level. What do you think about turning Evan Fournier into – this is the latest rumor.
Can we turn Evan Fournier into like a box of matzah? I mean, come on.
So basically – The proposal was Evan Fournier, a protected first-round pick for Bogdanovic on Detroit.
Do you have to say his name right the first time?
You know how they say, can you say it three times fast? I can't say it one time slow.
You can't say it one time slow. Come on now.
So this is the trade. And I actually, it was proposed by the Athletic, the Pistons beat reporter proposed it. I think when I read the trade at first, I thought they meant, because the Knicks own Detroit's protected first. So I thought they meant Detroit's pick, but they might mean the Knicks pick. I'm not really sure. The Knicks right now have Detroit's protected first round pick, but it's protected 1 through 18, meaning it's never going to actually become – it goes 118, then protected next year to 1 to 12. It will never convey as a first-round pick to the Knicks.
So two things. One, a total side comment, but is Detroit going to win 10 games this year?
They are all – I don't know who's going first in the NBA draft, but I know Detroit's going to pick that person. the Knicks are playing Detroit tomorrow night. You have to beat the crap, and I'm sorry to be all over the place, but you have to, if you're going to be a good team, you could split Miami, Phoenix, a big comeback against Miami, awesome. You blow it against Phoenix, whatever, but you have to beat the crap out of the bad teams. The Knicks have beat Charlotte three times this year. They have to beat Detroit four times. They have to crush them tomorrow night.
I think they will. I don't think there's any concern. Honestly, we'll get to the next five-game prediction, I'm sure, on this show. So here's my question. Bogdanovic.
Yeah.
See, I did it. He doesn't play.
What do you mean he doesn't play? He plays for Detroit. He's very good. He's a very good – he's better shooter than most of the guys on this team.
What's the last game he's played?
He's injured.
I know. So who are you trading for?
He's back soon, though. He's back in the I think he's back in the next week or two.
Okay.
So it's not like we're training for Zion, who's not going to play. I mean, Zion's healthy now, but
Zion's healthy and he's still not playing. He's not playing tonight.
I mean, he needs his rest. I mean, he's got a big body. He needs his rest.
He's got a big body. That.
The counter to this is, as long as you're training a protected first, not the Knicks first, but a protected first. Fournier doesn't play for us. We have a pretty strict nine-man rotation. Does Tibbs extend it to 10, or does Tibbs sit someone and go, Bogdanovic is a better shooter than someone in our rotation? He plays more. The guy's averaging 20 points a game. He can shoot 50% from the field. He can shoot threes. He's a very good shooter. I'm wondering, we're a very bad shooting team. And I haven't watched enough of Bogdanovic to know his defense. I think he's better than Fournier on defense. I know people were saying, you're just trading Fournier for Fournier. Fournier is horrific on defense. Bogdanovic, I think, is below average, but not bad. I think he's someone that's passable. If you can get him for a protected first, which aren't worth that much, I think he'd be a hell of an addition to the bench.
It's probably worth taking a flyer on. I don't know anything about his defense either. I got to be honest. I have not watched a lot of Utah games. I have not watched a lot of Pacer games. And
Knicks play him, he hits every shot. Not that it's saying anything.
That is definitely worth shot. That's what you should be basing your go list on.
That was also how the Knicks scouted Andreas Bargnani, and that worked out really well.
Such a terrible pickup.
So would you do this trade?
Fournier and a protected first? Yeah, why not?
Protected first. Okay.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I think that's
I'm not giving up a ton of players for a 34-year-old shooter.
So my bigger point is the Knicks aren't a good shooting team. You got to get better shooting. This would be a guy that would make a difference on the roster. You'd have someone else that you can really go to and really count on for some points, help the offense.
Whose time is he taking? Is he taking from Quentin? Is he taking from Quentin and from Hart?
I don't know. I would think the short end of the stick would be between Quentin and DiVincenzo. Though Quentin's the best defender on the team, DiVincenzo's a very good defender. It's hard to find the playing time also. But he'd be an interesting guy to work in there. I don't know. Maybe you go 10-man rotation because he's a hell of a shooter. And I don't know.
That seems like something Tibbs is jumping up and down for.
I don't know. If you say Tibbs, hey, we're not adding Cam Reddish. We're adding a guy that can actually get us some points. Who's a very competent NBA player. I think he's okay, I'll see if I can make this work.
Is I was going to make this joke earlier, but I'll pose that as a question instead. Of all the stands, who do you miss the most? Who do you miss the least?
Oh, Frank, okay. So you mean Frank
Toby, Obi.
You're saying basically, so Knicks fans have at least on social media, have a thing where they stan a player. They go crazy about a player. They make Frank sound like he was the next coming of Magic Johnson. People are still into Knox. They're still into Cam Reddish. They're still into Obi. Obi's the one where they're like, he's had a couple of good games for the Pacers. He's also had a couple games where he's been benched for his defense. I don't miss any of them, though. I liked Obi's like energy on the court.
Okay. What do you think? I think that's kind of a slam dunk. I mean, Kevin Knox can't even play for the 2-15 Detroit Pistons.
He had one or two good games actually for them, but yeah, he's terrible.
He's technically averaging 12 points, 5 rebounds a game, shooting 51% from the field, Mark.
All I know is
what we need is Kevin Knox back.
When Kevin Knox plays and starts 35 minutes a night for the Shanghai Dragons, he will light up the league over there in China.
He's going to be phenomenal.
He will be phenomenal. Him and
Dwight Howard are going to team up, a power duo.
So I don't miss them. I think DiVincenzo is an upgrade over Obi because he fits better on this team. Not even a knock on Obi, just like he's a much better piece on this team than Obi was. Obi's like, it was like, hey, Tibbs, play this guy that dunks a lot and doesn't play defense. And Tibbs is like, I'd rather just not have a backup small forward, a power forward.
That is 100% what he said. He's like, nah, I'll play without that position for now.
I'll stick a 6'5 Josh Hart there instead of having a backup power forward.
I would love to be like, you remember that old show, Herman's Head, where they're like, they had the people in the guy's head. I would
that knows this reference, but there was a show.
Mark? I'm assuming everyone is like 43 to 46 lives in.
But you have to be 43 to 46 and have watched this obscure show on Fox involving four people living in someone's head. Back when Fox wasn't even like a show, like it had Married with Children, The Simpsons, and no other shows.
I would like every single person that is listening to this episode to write in on X or Twitter or whatever and admit to whether you know what I'm talking about when I say Herman's Head. I want everyone chiming in here. That was a good show. Okay.
Here's the show that
I want. I want Tibbs' head. I want to be inside Tibbs' head when he's watching things like Obi Toppin's defense.
Oh my God.
I want to see the conversation that's going on inside Tibbs' balding head, because the anger, the seething, the confusion when Tobin would just like wander around the court like a lost puppy on defense.
Someone made a video of right when the time when they when he went to the nine man rotation, and they were talking about like who should play, and people were like, Cam Reddish shouldn't be benched, this is BS. They made a video of Cam's defense and Obi's defense, and obviously you're picking out plays. But those two looking so goddamn lost on defense, play after play. Tibbs must be like, he must have blood vessels just like kind of poof, 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 and he's watching this guy play defense. And I mean, he watches Randall and is like, I could leave Randall out there, but goddamn Cam is just driving me insane.
All right.
So I don't want to bury the lead of the Knicks. Like, the Knicks have done something the first time in their history. The first time in their history, they are a wild card in the final eight for the NBA in-season tournament. David, did you ever think the Knicks would get here?
Where's the button on this to play the parade music? This is exciting, Mark. This is amazing.
I am going tomorrow to down Broadway. They're going to have a parade to celebrate the Knicks making the in-season tournament. How much do you care the Knicks made? What do you think of this NBA in-season tournament thing so far?
I could give two shits. I still don't really understand it. All I know is that the court looks weird when they play these games. And I don't understand it, because you can't sell courts in like merchandising stores. So
I bought a court. You didn't buy a court?
I didn't buy the in-season tournament souvenir court. No.
So here's my proposal. I am assuming Adam Silver is listening. Here's my proposal for how to improve, and you can be my judge, David. This is how I would improve the in-season tournament. I don't love how it is. Here's my improvement. Okay. So we're going to have all 30 teams go to Vegas middle of December for a one-week single elimination tournament, kind of like March Madness. The thing is, the tournament will not count towards regular season games. So nothing like it happens in the tournament counts towards your regular season record. Single elimination like March Madness. The top two teams get byes. All seeding is based on the NBA on the rankings as of December 1st. Everyone's record on December 1st, that's how the rankings are. And instead of full games, all games are first team to 50 points.
I'll add another wrinkle. I like what you're saying. Can you hear me?
Let me finish. Let me finish.
Okay.
So the winning team will get an automatic 6th seed in the NBA playoffs at minimum. Obviously, you can go higher, but you're automatically the 6th seed in the NBA playoffs if you win this tournament. So there is a real incentive to win. And the games, I like the idea because you jam it all into a week, have everyone play games to 50, so it's not like a full, like guys don't have to kill themselves and get injured. You just play. And if you also, your team's just like, hey, we don't need this, you can just blow, you can throw the game.
I like it. I think that the total randomness of the schedule is what's driving me crazy, because I do think that there's a good idea buried somewhere here. I just think that, like, if you have no idea that it's coming or that it's happening, you can't get excited about it. So I like this idea of having it consolidated. Here's the ad that I would put that I want to see. I want to see this tournament be 3-on-3 or 2-on-2. I want this to be NBA Jam session, like the old arcade game. Everyone
Why don't we
their
have
best
trampolines? That'd be interesting. Why don't we have trampolines though?
Come on, these guys are already on trampolines. I want 2-on-2 half court. Best team gets top seed or something.
I have a better prize actually. Forget the playoffs. I have an even better prize. And I don't think I said this to you off the air. So the winning team, every player on the winning team gets a free pass for one post on Instagram.
What does that mean?
So John goes, yep, can't use my gun for the picture. I'm good. Josh Giddey's like, that one doesn't count.
Okay. So it's a hall pass. You want to give the guys a hall pass for some stupid shit.
Can you imagine how hard guys would play for that hall pass?
Yeah.
Guys would be freaking, and you'd be like, Anthony Edwards won't leave the game. He must have done something serious.
I was going to make a Ja Morant joke, but who's the dude that is being accused of being with a minor?
Josh Giddey, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, you're going to have guys, like bench guys coming out of their shoes, man.
The terrible joke I made was, so I guess the lady was or the minor was in Newport Beach, and apparently last year he was he got two traffic tickets in Newport Beach. So I was saying, oh, it appears that Josh Giddey is guilty of multiple infractions with minors or multiple minor infractions.
Nice, well done.
But it's alleged, and we don't know the whole full story there. And it's not an OKC podcast; they could lose their mind over this.
We're just talking about a free pass on Instagram. Like, it doesn't matter whether anything's true or not.
Yeah, exactly. But so the Knicks, you realize what the Knicks' actual prize here though is. So the Knicks' prize for making the tournament is to get to play the Milwaukee Bucks a fifth time this season. Do you know that?
Yeah, that sounds fair. I mean, that's like
extra game against.
Yeah, why not?
That sounds awesome. Like nothing better than adding an extra game that counts for the regular season against one of the best teams in the East.
Well, yeah, and you don't have any guaranteed playoff implications, so why not? Why not have them play Milwaukee another time. And this is something that we haven't talked about is, I mean, we talked about how they have to beat up on the good teams, the bad teams, but it'd be nice if they won a couple of games against good teams too.
No, well, they beat Miami, and of course. Yeah, well, they beat Miami. Yes, you got to beat the good teams, but I just – how frustrating is this, this dumbass tournament?
Yeah.
Because of this tournament, the Knicks got to play Milwaukee. Conversely, the Sixers, who did not make the tournament, they get to play the Wizards next week. Miami hosts the Raptors. The Knicks are like, we get to play Milwaukee. And if you make it to the finals of this tournament, not only are you playing a hard team, you play an 83rd game that doesn't count for anything.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well done, Silver. Congratulations.
It's just an awesome – it's just an awesome system. My system is better. Give them a hall pass. Give them the sixth seed in the playoffs, and make the games just more fun. You got to change. You got to do something a little bit different in the games to make them more fun. To, I don't know. But
2-on-2 with trampolines. There you go.
What do you think about the play? Like, you had to run up the score because the point differential mattered.
I read
and the Knicks were.
I read somewhere. Yeah. I read somewhere that Tibbs loved that because it was an excuse to keep the starters in.
I think Tibbs didn't even know about it. He was like, "They were like, oh, you left the starters in because like you wanted to get the point."
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, "I didn't even know that was part of the rules. I mean, if you're up by 20, like I'll take the starters off like with 30 seconds to go." But he's like,
"What in season tournament?"
Exactly. Exactly.
There's no way Tibbs knows that there's an in season tournament.
What will your reaction? So, are you, if the Knicks win, let's say they win the in season tournament? I mean, there's a little bit of respect, I guess. You win this thing. Do they hang a banner? Do they reflect? Do they go, hey, remember, let's celebrate the 10-year anniversary of winning the in season tournament? Like,
you get t shirts at the next game. That's it.
Or is it just a factoid about like an in season tournament? The NBA had one season 20 years ago.
Let's place bets on whether this in season thing exists in 5 years. I'm going to say no.
I mean, they're always trying to make more money, so they'll figure out how to keep adding it or make it better. But right now, it's a very mediocre version of it.
I'm going to say no in 5 years. That's mine.
So I guess whatever. Knicks win a game. I think Julius Randle and RJ were talking in the game where they were actually like excited to get more points to like make sure they made it.
Yeah, they want to go to Vegas.
I guess the guys, if you win, each player gets $500,000, which doesn't necessarily matter as much to Randall. But if you're Jericho Sims, that's probably like almost double your salary. Almost doubles your salary. So that makes a difference.
It's like Alonzo winning the home run derby. I'm gonna cross sport here. Alonzo winning the home run derby when he's got like a, you know, on the rookie league minimum. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's something. It's definitely something. So RJ, every year, something mysterious happens to him. He had the stomach bug. He had like the food poisoning, the migraines, and migraines are a real thing. I get migraines. But since returning from his migraines, after having an amazing start to the season, in the five games thereafter, he had averaged 14 points on 33% shooting, 30% from three. He's been shooting really bad since he got back.
I think this is a sadder phenomenon than Julius. I think Julius has got the body of work. You kind of have to have confidence that he's going to be just fine and figure it out. RJ, man, I mean, this was supposed to be his leap year, and it looked like he made the leap. Now, I don't know what he leapt into.
He's somewhere in between. Like, he's getting to the line, which is awesome. He's being aggressive. I guess I'm just hoping the shots just start falling again. It looked like – so one thing I noticed when he was playing well this season was he was really patient around the basket. He wouldn't just always just drive into the basket. Sometimes he would do like a couple post moves, just trying to like be a little more creative and be a little more – like wait till the shot develops. And he was passing the ball. I'm hoping he's just maybe off from the migraines. I don't know why he'd still be off from the migraines, but He was. I mean, he wasn't that great last night. I mean, we need RJ to play better. This team has a shot. What do you think of Grimes? Grimes has not been very involved in the offense. He's shooting poorly. Are we concerned about Grimes? Are we changing the starting lineup?
No, I love his defense. I love the tenacity.
He needs to shoot. You need to catch and three shooting. If you don't have that, you like limit the spacing on offense.
No, I don't mean he doesn't need to shoot. I mean, you don't need him to be a high volume guy.
No, but you need him to hit some shots, be a little more involved. Yeah. I'm wondering if, like, you mixed in, like, if you don't make the starting lineup out of Stone, like, you can, like, be a little more flexible. Maybe you try Dante DiVincenzo at starting, and Grimes gets a little more run with the bench, and maybe that opens him up a little bit.
I'm trying to see here. I'm looking up Grimes' numbers. They're pretty terrible so far this year.
He was good last year, especially the second half of last year. He has playmaking skills. I think he feels, because of you have three high usage guys with him most of the time, he feels very locked into, like, the basically just being a catch and shoot 3-point shooter.
Yeah.
And last night he drove a little bit to the basket. He did it once, like, maybe two different plays. He needs to drive. We need a little more cutting. He needs to do a little bit more. And I'm wondering if he'll feel a little more freedom with the bench unit.
Maybe. Look, these are the low risk moves that Tibbs can make to inject a little bit of life. This year, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, it's just what I've seen, they are starting the game much better than they did last year. Last year, there was just this massive stretch where they, like, couldn't start the game strong, and they felt like they were always digging out of holes. This year, I don't think that's been the case. I think the bulk majority of games, they come out pretty darn strong in the first quarter. So I don't know if switching up the starting lineup is really the big thing, or if you want to switch up who comes out in the third quarter or who's on the court at the end of the fourth.
Yeah, I guess I like IQ. IQ needs to get closer to 20, 30 minutes and needs to be finishing games. I think he has been finishing games. I think they said on last night's broadcast, the Knicks, when the Knicks win the first quarter, they are something like 8-1, or I guess 9-1. And when they lose the first quarter, they're like 1-6. Whatever, like they basically, I think they only have one win if they've lost the first quarter, and they only have one loss if they've won the first quarter. So that the first quarter has mattered a lot to how they perform.
I would love to see the splits on the first, 6 minutes before the first shift or the first switch.
I do not have those splits, but they do exist somewhere.
Get them by the minute, Mark.
We are wrapping up. We're running out of time. So I wanted to get, we have coming up in the schedule, the Knicks have a couple games, and I wanted to see what you think is going to happen in those couple games. So the Knicks got Detroit coming. So the next few games, they got Detroit, they got the Raptors, the Bucks, and then the Raptors. And the Bucks is part of the play-in tournament quarterfinal. So the Knicks haven't got the quarter, like the final eight teams don't even go to Vegas. It's only the final four teams in this stupid tournament. Anyway, so Pistons, Raptors, Bucks, Raptors, and Jazz. What's the record in those five games going to be?
I'm going to say they go 3-2. I don't think they win both games against Toronto. There's something about that Toronto team, no matter who's on it, they're not going to win both of those games.
And
I don't think they're winning in Milwaukee.
Unless the Bucks are smart enough to say, we don't want any part of this play-in tournament. We don't need the extra game. We'll throw this. That's the only chance.
Honestly, it's less the Bucks and more. I don't think I've ever seen the Knicks win a game on TNT.
Yeah, that's true too. There's some things on the Knicks kryptonite, and that's one of the things.
There's some things that you have to count on. The Knicks on TNT do not come out to play.
The Knicks have to crush the Pistons tomorrow night, split with the Raptors. It'd be great if they beat the Bucks. I don't have a lot of faith, but then you got to beat the Jazz. The Jazz aren't a good team. The Knicks got to beat them.
Yeah, they'll beat the Jazz. I think they come out, they beat Toronto this first game in Toronto. I don't think they pull it out against Milwaukee, and I think they lose at home against Toronto. Everyone feels kind of discouraged, and they go out and stomp Utah. We'll see. I was surprised by the Phoenix loss, I got to say. I mean, Phoenix had so many players not playing.
Quarter was terrible. The Knicks got out-rebounded, and we don't have time to go into the whole thing, but the Knicks the Knicks blew that game.
I'll go after six games and say that they recover and they have a good showing out west, at least to start. They beat Utah and Phoenix in those first two games.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. And I think Randall is going to look good. Brunson's going to look good. And I think we just talked about Grimes. We talked about Hart before. I think these guys will pick up their game going forward.
I do too. I think they'll return to the mean for their careers and what we should expect. I know we got to wrap this up. I do want to shout out my boy Mitch. Mitch Robinson has been playing out of his mind, and if anyone has taken a leap, it's him. He has been more than anyone could have expected. He is the real deal, even if he is shooting rockets from the free throw line.
I also love last night when they gave the ball to Mitch twice and let him try to work it on offense. He wants, he's been calling for the ball, give him the ball. I think there's something to their centers getting the ball a little more down low and seeing how what happens.
Mitch and Isaiah are Harkenstein are the, like, to me, that's like the heart and soul of this team. I love those guys. I love it when either one of them is out there, and I love their camaraderie. To me, that's New York Knicks basketball.
To say, you know, we mentioned before, Tibbs, you have like him watching Cam Reddish, Obi playing defense, the blood vessels are blowing up. When he watches Hardenstein and Mitch play defense, he's like, I got to do something about this erection.
All right, we have to wrap it up. I don't want to go into Tibbs' erections, Mark. You've lost me. I think you've lost some people on this call. That might be what we need to wrap up.
Okay. Thank you, David, for joining. Knicks, we'll have David back on soon. And Jay's going to be back from Thailand. And the Knicks are going to be awesome. It's going to be a fun season. Okay.
All right, man. Dialing out from Seattle. Go Knicks.
Bye, love. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
It's all over.
Goodbye.
It's time to go.
This is the end.